Okay. I think, you know, something that bothers me, Lee, is...
Yeah, go on.
It's all of a sudden, it's coronavirus, which is, of course, is a big thing. Come on, we have to worry about it. But when you come in to think about it, this whole lockdown, it's a life that some of us have been living this life, haven't we?
Yeah. Well, I, to be honest with you, I know it might sound mad, but I'm thriving a little bit on it because it's no different to me living in fear and isolation. I live in fear and isolation all the time. Fear of if I'm going to get any side effects from my medicine, when I have to take my medicine, if I'm going to get ill, if I'm allowed out after a certain time. I'm on a curfew. I get all these things anyway. So if anything, I feel it will make people understand what mental health is like because they're getting a taste of what we've been through for years.
Yeah, and I think it's a learning. It's an exposure to people to understand the challenges faced by individuals that are enduring mental ill health.
Of course. I mean, I've seen people, like, talking to themselves on the buses and, like, you might think it's not mad, but they're trying to get themselves through it. It's like when you see people talking to themselves on the ward and, you know, it's like them trying to encourage themselves forward and... Mm. You know, I don't think there's nothing wrong in it, really.
No, not at all. I mean, let's put it this way, okay? People are worried about COVID-19 because of the physical health side of things.
Mm.
You know, catching the illness, transmitting it, passing it on, and you know, the symptoms and all they think about. I mean, come to realise, what about the mental health side of things? People get to fail to realise that, well, here we are. We're struggling. Because of COVID, no office premises for us to sit.
No.
We've got to do this at a train station, which is okay. We're improvising, aren't we?
Yeah. But it just goes to show what's going on everywhere and for the people on the wards to appreciate that everyone else is getting a taste of what they've been going through day in, day out for years or months or, you know, or just starting getting better. You know, so.
And coming to think about it once again, I mean, physical health and mental health, they go hand in hand, don't they?
Of course.
Because next minute, you're worried you'll catch the illness, but then the mental health side of things is... So imagine struggling with mental health diagnosis,
yeah,
having to take medication, having to cope with all the restrictions that comes with it, the care, and then worried about COVID physical health side of things
Well, I'll be honest with you, half the reason people stay well is because they work and they have something to focus on. Now they've got no work, they're climbing up the walls because they just don't know what else to do with themselves.
Mm.
Some have got no hobbies, you know, people are doing a bit of jogging on the street and, you know, other people, my brother's started drawing again, like where he's never had time. But he's climbing the walls because he's a very active person and he's suddenly got all this time on his hands, like what I had for years in hospital, you know. And I really think he'll appreciate me a bit better once this is over, finally over.
Mm. It's what it is. I'm just thinking. So, just imagine, how do we help people who are actually already struggling with mental ill health?
Well, the thing is,
even without the challenges of COVID-19.
Sorry, say that again, Nash.
I mean, how are we able to support them to get along with it?
Well, that's a difficult question because, you know, everybody needs support at the moment. So it's just a question of just being there for people and, you know, and making a difference, just doing little kind acts, helping people and, you know, being patient and sharing telephone calls and video cams and things, you know. Stay in touch with people, but obviously you have to keep your distance, so do it at a distance.
Which is even more difficult.
Of course. I mean, when I saw you today, Nash, I mean, we go back a couple of years now, a few years. And the first thing I wanted to do was give you a hug, and I thought, I can't. And I thought, but I was excited to see you, but, it's the way it is.
It is what it is. So is it something to do with reassuring one another?
Yeah, I think, you know, human beings basically like to be shown affection and gratitude and kindness, you know, and those things are hard to show. So, you know, you struggle because you can't express yourself like you normally can. It's a difficult one.
At least we're lucky. We've got access to technology. We're sitting here recording this conversation here. What about those in there locked up that can't have access to it?
Yeah.
How do we reach out to them?
Oh, I know. And, you know, thank God for before I come out when we got mobile phones for people, because at least they can stay in touch with their loved ones by telephone, because the phones would be chock-a-block now, having to queue for the ward phones where there's only two or three on the ward. At least people have got access to a phone where they can ring their loved ones, you know, and stay in touch. So that was one of the best achievements we achieved on the user forum when we were in there, because now it's coming into its own, I believe.
Mm.
You know, I get phone calls from people I know who are still in hospital.
Mm.
Excuse me. And they're struggling because some were given a certain amount of freedom where they could go out and do things, go shopping and things, and it's suddenly taken away from them, and under already harsh circumstances, people are just starting to realise what it's like for someone who suffers from mental health, because they're suffering the same as those people. But that extra bit that they had has now been taken away, so they've got nothing at all now.
And you know what? It's not just been taken because they don't want them to have it. It's for their own safety as well.
That's right.
But then how do you communicate that to them?
Well, you know,
you put yourself in that situation, Lee.
How would you
accept this as, in fact, oh yeah, we're doing this for your benefit. How would you want that conversation to be facilitated?
I understand. I mean, when I first was admitted, I didn't get any leave for nearly 2 years. And I used to see people going out and doing things, people on my ward, and they would get escorted leave, and I think, yeah, I'd love that and that. But I was so ill, I didn't get any leave at all for 2 years. And I used to suffer then. So I know how people are suffering in there. You know, see, you think we're doing things out here, but we're not. And, you know, just try and focus and do something positive.
Mm.
Write something, draw, you know, even listen to music and chill. But, but do something positive. Try and learn from the experience.
And just get to know that and believe that you're not being punished.
Yeah.
It's for your own safety, course, and well-being.
Of course.
And the staff are going the extra mile to do all this.
Yeah.
And they put a lot of self at risk to provide this kind of service.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing that could help them is for us to appreciate and actually help support them back, if anything at all.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think I'm quite pleased with this. I'm sure this would inspire others, and this would let people know that it is what it is everywhere, and we just need to learn to cope and to believe that it will be over, and we need to stay together and get this over and done with.
Yeah, I agree.
If there was any last word, what would you say?
Be hopeful, be realistic, but be optimistic.
Hey, thank you.